Well, good morning and welcome to, boy, this is such an interesting day out there. As you know, we've had some really long spring, and then we had some warming, and then we had some more spring. And here we are today with a beautiful sky and no clouds. And we're going to talk about the movies and filming here in Tucson in Southern Arizona. And good morning to all of you, and good morning to Peter, and good morning to Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy that you guys are here in the studio. I have been extremely busy. I'm traveling around and broadcasting live from various festivals in the community, and just recently was at the Pima County Fair for 11 days, and big audiences, big crowds, lots of concerts. We all have to work a little harder to get folks into our front, into our gates or to our turnstiles. And these two gentlemen, they work very hard in the film and movie industry. Peter, I'm going to try the name Catalanote.
There you go.
All right. I got it. Okay. Yep. And Peter is the director of film here in Tucson.
Film Tucson is the name of the office.
Yes. Film Tucson. Film Tucson. It's a division of Visit Tucson. Correct. Is how you say that. Okay. And then Mark Sankey, been around in the movie and the Old West heritage attractions for a while, but when Old Tucson had a closed for COVID, a family, the Karchner family, stepped up. I would say they kind of rescued Mescal, didn't they, Mark?
Absolutely.
And Mark is in charge of all the filming that's going on out at Mescal, and but he's got you had your roots in a little bit of Old Tucson.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. But the Karchner family came along, and when Old Tucson let its, I guess it was a some kind of a land lease, but or what do they call the kind of lease that they had?
It was a film lease on state land.
Right, right. So a grazing lease, I think, if I recall what it was called, or at least was when Old Tucson was. The movie industry has seen a lot of activity, especially in Mescal and Old Tucson. But Pete, it's not really been just those two locations, has it?
No, actually, Tucson as a whole gets a lot of filming all over the place. Some of our historic districts, our downtown, roads, desert roads are a big attraction. Obviously, Tucson Mountain Park, which we locals call Gates Pass. There's all kinds of spots. Titan Missile Museum. We're really lucky to have such a wide variety of locations that filmmakers and photographers enjoy shooting. So we're really lucky. Tucson's a great place to film, and it looks fantastic.
And Peter, you and I have known each other for many, many years, and
yes.
We've worked together. Tucson Mountain Park was probably sometimes our biggest challenge because it is a sanctuary.
Yep.
It is, we are film friendly, and mm-hmm. there's no question those locations, are very important to the folks that come in here and they want to do some filming. How did you get involved in filming?
I was working at the film library at the University of Arizona, this position opened up. My background was more in film theory than film production, but I thought I'd give it a go, and got hired, and have been doing it now for about 28 years.
What a great background. I mean, the go from kind of the academic side and then actually living and breathing filming. And I knew you initially as the location, scout, if that's the right word. But if you needed to film here and you describe what you want to see and do, and Peter was the person that you talked to. And I think obviously it expands beyond just Tucson. It's Southern Arizona and maybe yes. even larger than that, isn't it?
Really just Southern Arizona, okay. I guess is the way we put it. So we cover Bisbee. We get a lot of filming in Bisbee. We cover Douglas, any of the smaller towns in southern Arizona. And we've even gone as far north as Casa Grande. The film Three Kings, starring George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube, it was set during the first Iraq War. We found a location for them on the south end of Casa Grande. It was an abandoned mine. I can't remember the name of the mine right now, sorry. But they, Warner Brothers came in and built this gigantic Iraqi village. It was pretty incredible. And so they filmed the entire movie there, except for one little scene. They filmed the entire thing there. So we go as far north as Casa Grande, and then we will even facilitate filming on the other side of the border. The Oscar-winning film Traffic from 2000, directed by Steven Soderbergh. The scenes that were set in Tijuana were actually done in Nogales, and so they had what they call the base camp on the Arizona side. So that's where all their lodging and dining and so forth was. And then all the filming was in Mexico because they wanted that authentic look of a Mexican border town. So we got that for them and worked with authorities in Mexico to get them that locale. So yeah, we spread all over the place.
Yeah, that's great. And I understand that there was another famous movie. I think it was maybe a sequel to a movie that you filmed close to the border or in the border.
Yeah, The Hangover 3.
There we go.
Which I don't know if anyone saw that. Everybody I talked to has seen The Hangover, the first one, because it was such a funny film. Yes. It was so great. Then they made a second one because it was so successful. Then they made a third one. And the third one is where Nogales, Arizona is featured. It's pretty cool. They filmed some scenes there. They dressed this particular area of downtown Nogales, they dressed it as Tijuana. Again, filmmakers didn't want to film in Tijuana, so they found an easier place to get that same look. And there's what's nice is I think this was another Warner Brothers shoot. They there's a scene where some characters are on a bench, so that bench was brought in, and the film company left the bench there in Nogales with a little plaque saying the date of the filming. So it's a nice little gift to the town there, a remembrance of a great time.
Well, and Mark, tell us how you got involved in the movie industry.
I was never really in film. I had a publishing business with my brother. We sold it. I retired, and I live on the west side of Tucson, and I thought it would be fun to work at Old Tucson, because when I first moved here, we got the annual passes. We really enjoyed it. Was always a Western history buff, and so when I retired, I got hired out there just in guest services, and when it closed down because of COVID, then I drifted down to Moscow and met the Karchners, and they needed somebody to do a news release and a flyer, and that was right up my alley from being a publisher, so sort of fell into it.
Right. So did you know the Karchner family before that?
No, not at all. My boss at Old Tucson was a director of revenue, and she was friends with the Karchners. And
okay.
So she sort of said, hey, you need to go down to Moscow and meet the Karchners.
Was that Natalie or?
Annette.
Annette. Okay.
Yeah.
Annette. That's right.
Yeah.
And she had been there for probably three decades, if not longer than that. And so now you had something you had to do. And I presume you're still having a lot of fun.
It's a good time. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, I knew nothing about film. I've been in sales and marketing my whole life, so that didn't intimidate me. But I had the opportunity to meet Bob Mizorowski, who was the producer of Tombstone. And we hit it off and had lunch, and I said, hey, Bob, will you help me out? Be my technical advisor. And he said, well, what does that mean? I said, if I ever have a question, can I call you up? You know, and advice. And first thing I asked him is, tell me what not to do. Don't tell me what to do. Tell me, you've been involved in a lot of movies. What really just irritated you or made you not want to go back to a location? And he said, surprise billing.
Well,
surprise billing.
So he helps me out quite a bit on what not to do.
Well, and if you ever been out that that area, the wind blows a lot, just like at the Pima County Fairgrounds. And when you first walk through the gates of Moscow Movie Studio, were you surprised at what you saw?
It was a mess. I did get in there when we found out it was going to be bulldozed. Annette took a group of us over there for one last visit, we thought, or something. And so I was thrilled when the Karchners came. But at that point, you couldn't even drive down the road because of broken glass and nails and debris, and it was really sad to go into a location with that type of rich film history and find out how much it had deteriorated. And I don't really blame Old Tucson for that, because it's the revenue from filming that is supposed to keep that alive. And
Moscow was built by the movies, the movie studios, and probably the most celebrated movie film there when Moscow became the town of Tombstone.
Now, by far, that's the most popular movie. We've done social media questionnaires and what people's favorite actors or movies are, and like by 70%, Old Tombstone is the favorite. Even though they've had some popular movies and popular actors, Tombstone by far is the one that people favor.
Well, I think I remember Sharon Stone starring in a movie out there.
Yeah, Quick and the Dead, with a couple other famous people.
And that came out, was that film just a little bit after Tombstone?
Yeah, in fact, there were times where both productions were on set at the same time. Tombstone was filming, and when they were done with a particular location, perhaps the hotel, and the Quick and the Dead staff would come in and start painting and decorating it the way they wanted for their movie.
Well, there's a lot more to learn about the film industry and how Tucson is very welcoming to the film studios. And, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about how Moscow came about. So put your history hats on, both of you. And we'll be right back. This is The Morning Show, and we're here at KVY, 10:30 a.m., your trusted voice in news. And we'll be right back. Well, we're back to this is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. I'm the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And when I moved here in 1997 from California, I had the opportunity to be the general manager of Old Tucson. And you're going to hear a little bit about Old Tucson, because where did the movies really start? When did Tucson become a favorite for Hollywood? And I think there was even a slogan that Old Tucson used regarding about the movies here in town. And I want to welcome our guest. I hit his name the first time, and Peter Cataloni. And now I'm just kind of slurring it through, you know. So
that's right. It's early in the morning.
And Peter's with Film Tucson, yes. And he's the director. And Mark Sankey is. Oh, let's just. You're the film manager of Mezcal, but is there another title that you would like to be used?
My official title is director of marketing and media.
All right,
whatever that means.
But you're the only person we know that from Mezcal. So thank you, for being here. We also have on the phone Tim Vimmerstedt, who used to work for Visit Tucson, as well as Old Tucson. And we also have another gentleman, Mark. You may know this guy, can you tell us who you are that's on the phone?
Bunker.
Okay. Bunker.
Bunker DeFrance.
Yes, that's right.
He's a Mezcal legend.
My favorite topic, movies.
Bunker.
Hey, you know, I'm so happy you're doing this today, especially because this Saturday coming up out at the Empire Ranch, a movie made in Tucson is being shown, and it's free to the public. And Mark is going to introduce the movie. I worked on it, worked all the way through it, did three parts, doubled the Chris Christopherson, and also stood in for him. And it's a wonderful movie. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want folks to come down and see it. Visit our ranch. But Mark, why don't you go ahead and tell them what you're going to say down there, or part of it. Don't give it all away, though.
But you know, Bunker is now the official co-host. And I'm sure Mark was going to talk about that. But you know, Bunker would like to know that
it's the movie A Star Is Born with Barbra Streisand and Chris Christopherson, filmed in 1976, with large portions of it down in the Sonoyta area. And on the Empire Ranch. So in conjunction with The Loft, they'll be going to showing that this Saturday.
That's great. And Tim, stand by. We're going to talk about all the other events coming up here in Tucson in just a little bit, but we wanted to get right to the movies. And Tim and I worked together at Old Tucson. Tim was the director of sales and catering, all about food and all about the reasons why you should come to Old Tucson. And we were surrounded by this wonderful set that was built back in 1939, right, Peter?
1939.
And that really is what put us on the map.
Yeah, the I wasn't around back then, so I'm going to go by the story that I've been told. Columbia Studios built the Western set for the movie Arizona, starring William Holden and...
Gene Autry,
thank you. kept the set up because they were making a lot of Westerns in those days, of course. So it was such a beautiful area, which we all here in Tucson know how gorgeous our saguaros are, our saguaro landscapes. So they kept the set up and... filming kept coming back again and again. We're really lucky to have Old Tucson there. And then I think it was in 1968, Old Tucson built Mezcal. Am I getting that right?
Old Tucson, then it was built for a movie called Monty Walsh with Lee Marvin and Jack Palance. And then Bob Shelton at Old Tucson picked it up right after that movie.
Yeah, it was out there and near Benson.
Yeah.
And is it in Benson's or city limits?
It's not in the city limits, but it's a Benson address.
Right. And at that time, they had a 360-degree viewpoint. There were no houses or farms or anything like that. So clearly, whereas Old Tucson, probably back in 1939, mm-hmm. had the same asset. And then one year, they built these wonderful mansions at top of the Tucson Mountain, and we used to say that's where the owner lives of Old Tucson, and everybody bought it. Thank goodness for whatever the technology was that they were able to paint those houses out if they happened to accidentally get those in a movie shot. But the kicking off in 1939, that was a tough year, a good year overall for the movie industry. What were those other movies, Peter?
It was a good year for the movies because it was the year The Wizard of Oz came out and Gone with the Wind. It was pretty exemplary if you just go by those two films alone. My understanding is the movie Arizona, which helped create Old Tucson, as great as that film is, how do you cut through the big popularity of those two films, right? So not many people saw Arizona. I don't think it's well known today, really. We know it here in Tucson because we know it is the place that built Old Tucson, but it didn't do very well back then, is my understanding.
And those other two movies you mentioned were in color.
You're right.
I don't know why I know that, but
I had to think about that.
The Arizona, of course, most of the Westerns at that time were filmed in black and white.
Sure.
And it's still the classic look for an Old West movie. Obviously, Wizard of Oz started off in kind of a sepia tone kind mm-hmm. of thing, and then it went into living color and with the technology. And obviously, we had talkies much before that. But it was really the one that the history books would say kicked it off and was a whole new industry here for Tucson. And guess what happened to Tucson when the movies arrived? We call it economic development.
That's right. That's right.
Isn't that in your mission statement?
Yeah, it is. I was trying to figure out where you were going with this, but yeah.
Well, this is live, so it's unrehearsed.
Yeah. Well, so your audience might know, of course. So Film Tucson is a division of Visit Tucson, which is tourism. We're all about economic impact. We're all about locals getting jobs, people spending at local businesses and hotels. So that's what filming brings in. It's wonderful to watch movies, and they touch our hearts, and we learn some things and cry a little, whatever. That's all great, but it's the economic impact that filming brings that really is the benefit Tucson enjoys.
Now, I'm trying to remember some of the famous hotels where the movie stars stayed. I know I'm looking at Peyton. Goes like, oh, maybe that's a little bit of history, and I don't remember.
I sort of have some knowledge of that.
Yeah,
but not
and,
really.
And so maybe someone in the listening audience could call us and let us know if you were part of a hotel where the movie stars hung out, because typically when I can't remember how many weeks it took to film Arizona. These stars and movie production people would come over in Tucson, and it's not like they drove back and forth to L.A.
No.
I mean, they stayed here and that's where all this economic development comes from. And I don't believe they had outdoor barbecues every day. They actually went out and ate some at the restaurants.
I hope so.
You know?
Well, we have such great Mexican food, and I'm sure we did back then. I wouldn't want to cook at my hotel room. I don't want to go out and get some good Mexican food in Tucson.
And I heard the tequila was pretty good, too.
That's always good. I seem to recall it. There was a hotel on, I'm trying to remember, do you know where the Tucson House is?
Yes.
There was a hotel there that was kind of the hub for a lot of the stars. And then I don't know what it's called back then. I want to say it was a Holiday Inn. It's now Hotel Tucson. It's right off Congress and the freeway. It's, I don't know, 10 stories. It's sitting empty right now. They're doing renovations to reopen it. But my understanding is that may have been a Holiday Inn back then and was being used a lot. In the 70s, we're talking.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 60s and 70s.
And I think John Wayne had a ranch not too far away from here.
I think so, yeah.
And that was good. So, we're going to be back with more movie history. And if anybody out there knows about what those famous hotels were, give us a call here at 520-790-2040. This is The Morning Voice, and we'll be right back. Well, we're back, and thank you, Matt. What we wanted to feature today was a lot of the soundtracks from the movies that were filmed here. But before we get going back to the stars of the show, Peter and Mark, Tim Vimmerstedt, you're now on, and let's talk a little bit about some of those wonderful festivals that are going on this weekend.
Absolutely. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning.
All right. Well, this is the last weekend of Old Tucson's Western Adventures, so we encourage you to head on over for May 10th and 11th, the last days of regular operations until the end of summer. And also, this weekend, starting tomorrow through Sunday, you can see the Sons of the Pioneers live at Old Tucson. So it's an action-packed weekend out there. Tucson Sugar Skulls are playing at the TCC May 10th. As Bunker mentioned, the movie night at the historic Empire Ranch. So that should be pretty cool. One of my favorite movies. And then Mother's Day, Sunday, May 11th, we have brunches going on all over town. But we recommend the Hacienda del Sol and the J.W. Marriott at Star Pass. Two beautiful settings to take your mother. And so be sure to go to thisistucson.com and visit Tucson.org to learn more about these events and much more of what's going on in Tucson.
Well, thank you, Tim. We'll be back with you certainly in the 8 o'clock hour to learn more. Yeah. And those are all wonderful members of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And every once in a while, we get a chance to give them a plug, and especially the J.W. Marriott and the Hacienda del Sol. Bring your mother out there. Bring the whole family out there. Now, last The Morning Voice show yesterday with Grant Kruger, he had this great recommendation. Don't try to get a reservation probably now. And when you give them a call, and if they're full up, ask them about the 3, 4, 5 o'clock hour. And that's where you can probably find a reservation if you're having trouble at one of those places or any of the places. You can certainly go to visittucson.org, and you can learn all about the restaurants that are here, including since we're now America's, how do you say that, Peter? American's best Mexican food here is located just here in Tucson.
You're darn right. Everybody that lives in Tucson already knows we have the best Mexican food in America.
And, you know, we just completed our annual meeting and brought to you by Visit Tucson and for the SAAA. And Ray Flores and his mother, Carlotta, were part of our annual meeting where they provided a wonderful, delicious brunch. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest brunch I've ever seen for, you know, kind of the breakfast hour. And we had almost 50 people there enjoying, celebrating a 27th year of the SAAA and how we're helping attractions. And we couldn't do it, of course, without our partner, Visit Tucson. So let's get back to the movies. And we were talking before we went on the break about the hospitality of Tucson. Why did the movies come here? And we talked about, you know, it was certainly the desert, the environment, the saguaro cactus, but there was also one huge component why people, especially sporting events and movies, keep coming back here, and it's the hospitality of Tucson. And, of course, that's predominantly from the folks that work at the resorts and at the hotels. And when the movies were here, and Bunker, stand by, because we're going to ask you a few questions as well. But, Peter, there was one particular hotel that's still standing that seemed to welcome more movies than others. And when you walk into their lobby, they remind you about all the wonderful movies that were filmed here.
You're correct. It's the it used to be known as the Flamingo Inn, but now it's a Red Roof Inn. I guess Red Roof Corporation bought it, and they've kept the sign up. But my understanding is back in the day, 60s and 70s and so forth, a lot of film stars stayed there. Because it's an easy road to take you to Old Tucson, or if they were filming downtown. So its proximity to those main locations made it a popular hotel. And so you'll find movie posters from throughout Tucson's film history of things that have shot there, and we'll presume the actors from those films stayed at the hotel.
Yeah, and Bunker, can you add a little bit more to that?
Yes, I can. In fact, I can give you kind of a chronological history of the hotels here. It all basically starts with the Santa Rita. That was where the company stayed for Arizona. And Nick, I can't remember his last name, the general manager, was basically the Bob Shelton of the 30s and 40s, bringing what did come in. Now, following up, the next major hotel was the Desert Inn. High Chaparral stayed there. A lot of other companies stayed there. The Sands across the street, when there was more than one company, we could get the flow over. The hotel that John Wayne Companies always stayed at, and he stayed there a couple of times, was the old Ramada on Grandy.
That's right.
And then after that, High Chaparral moved over to the Hilton, which was run by Bernie Robbins, and the Hilton became the hotel for about the next 10, 15 years. Everybody went there. Even when there were no pictures in town, people would go down there to see what the latest gossip of who was coming in next. And that is just basically a brief chronological. There was another hotel just around the corner from the on Drachman from the Ramada that would also catch the overflow. The Flamingo was kind of a secondary player. It got a lot of stuff in there. Mainly the owners were just film fanatics, and they collected everything they could about the films.
Well, thank you for that. And there, we also, Mark was bringing up that the at that time there were lots and lots of dude ranches in our area.
Yeah, the White Stallion was the major player there. The old one up on the Catalina foothills that escapes my mind right now. A lot of the actors and stars stayed there. Also, as far as the housing went, a lot of them stayed out at the besides the dude ranches. They would rent houses out here. The some of the major stars on Chaparral, they rented houses out in the Catalina foothills for them.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And stand by. Give us a call back, if you wouldn't mind, in the 8 o'clock hour, because we're going to go really more in-depth about Mezcal and how it was reborn. And we understand that you you have a lot to share regarding Mezcal as well. Well, back to...
I was there from day one.
All right. Thank you. So we're back with Peter and Mark. We got about another minute or so before we go back on break. And Peter, can you expand a little bit about this warmth that Tucson kind of shows to our guests when they come here from the movies?
Oh, sure. I mean, when we work with film companies coming in now, they're always blown away at how laid back and friendly Tucson is. They're amazed at what they see as the little amount of traffic. Those of us that live here might say otherwise, but compared to Los Angeles, they laugh when I complain about the traffic. So it's just Tucson's warmth and character. It's a great thing for people from outside because they're not used to that. They might come from a bigger city that's a little bit more cold or distant, and that's not what we are. We're warm and inviting and friendly. That's the Tucson spirit.
It reminds me of Avis when it was doing battle with Hertz. Number two certainly works harder.
Yes.
I guess we could say, faster, smarter, but certainly old Tucson wasn't part of the fast lane of L.A.
Right.
It was laid back.
Yes.
And it was comfortable staying here. Obviously, the movies probably were a little bit more fast-paced than that because they're all on budget. But there's so much to learn, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stars that hung out here a lot when we come back from our break. So this is The Morning Voice, and you're listening to soundtracks from the movies that were here and really helped our economy throughout the past, oh, I guess you'd say 70, 80 years now. So we'll be right back. Well, I hope you're enjoying the music from, if you're into AI, whether it be ChatGPT or Copilot or whatever it is, put in there soundtracks or movie music of Tucson, and you're going to hear some wonderful music that came about because of the movies that were here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. And that's what we're trying to do, is feature not only talking about the movies, but featuring the music from the movies as well. So, Peter,
yes.
we just finished talking about how warm our hospitality here is. And, Tucson has a wonderful track record of bringing guests back. And some people call them guests, some people call them visitors. But tourism is a big deal here because of the movies.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In our industry, we call it film tourism. It's when audiences see a TV show or a movie they love, and then they want to go to that place where it was filmed. So Tucson has enjoyed that. That's really old Tucson's model, and now Mezcal's, which we can talk about later. People watch the movies that they love that were shot at old Tucson, and then they want to come out to old Tucson to see the place in person, and we love that. Lilies of the Field shows on Turner Classic Movies, I swear, our phone rings from somewhere around the world. Someone will call, around America, excuse me, will call and say, hey, I just watched Lilies of the Field. I want to see where that church is. Sadly, the church was taken down right after filming ended, but that just gives you an idea of the power that someone watching a film will then want to book a vacation at that place where the film was made.
Yeah, and there are cities across the United States that would share that you can't pay for that kind of advertising, and now with streaming out everywhere and everybody has access to it, any time of the day you could probably find the movie Tombstone on some streaming service.
Yep.
And this was filmed at both Old Tucson and Mezcal. We're going to talk a little bit more about Mezcal at the in the 8 o'clock hour. But tourism is a big deal here. We have restaurants and resorts that we would not have if tourism wasn't a big deal here. And you know, we used to use the four C's. You know, cattle, copper, climate.
Citrus.
Okay.
Cotton.
And
I thought
cotton.
It was five C's.
No, that was the five T's. That was with the city. That was the city of Tucson. When the mayor came up with his own five T's,
okay.
And we were waiting there, is one of them going to be tourism? You remember that a little bit, Pete?
I don't remember that.
And tourism was, oh my gosh, the mayor now understands tourism, and as a result of that, he continued to support tourism through the bed tax and other many different ways that tourism is, and you know, again. We are the number two city in, Arizona, with our folks up north with 5 million plus people, but we only have about 1 million people here in Tucson. And what happens during the year that fills our hotels and our restaurants? Generally in the cooler months, but it's tourism. And the impact on tourism is, it's one of those numbers where it's so big, you don't believe it. And if I recall correctly, it also employs a tremendous amount of people as well. And we're not the economists here, but tourism is bringing, what is the number these days of millions of people that are coming here?
Well, I actually don't have that number. I'm more film-centric. But what I can do is give a little anecdote. When we had an HBO pilot that was shot here a few years ago.
Yes.
A few years ago. And they were here for almost 6 months. And so you can imagine all these people from Los Angeles here for 6 months. The amount of money they spent shopping, going out to eat. These are foodies. They love exploring new restaurants. So I always enjoyed the production meeting every morning. I'd get to come into the office early and meet with some of the location team and so forth. And I'd get to hear, oh, where did you go eat last night? Oh, we tried this this place, El Charro, that we just discovered is really good. Or I think it's called Tik Tok Thai on Campbell. I'm probably getting the name wrong. That was a thing that was fun, is hearing these visitors talk about the food they ate.
Coming back at the 8 o'clock hour is Blake Eager. Stand by, Blake, and help us out on these economic development numbers. It's millions and millions of people, I can tell you that. So this is The Morning Voice, and we'll be back at the 8 o'clock hour. And thank you for joining us, and we're all talking about everything to do with film here in Tucson. Well, we're back, and it's the 8 o'clock hour, and I'm so happy to... I have Peter kind of hanging out for one more segment, and Mark, don't go anywhere, because we are going to talk about the rebirth of Mezcal, and Bunker will be back helping us tell that story. But in joining us in just a few moments, and don't know if he's on the phone yet, but will be Blake Eager, and you know. Is it Iger or Eager? Eager.
Eager.
Eager, yes. And Blake will be has been working kind of hand in glove with Peter for, I bet she's been 3 years now, maybe even longer, about this new organization that is helping a film. There is the Edgar Soto story that he's told many, many times. He and I were sitting outside of a theater here in town. And it was an introduction of some movie. I can't remember all the details. And Edgar was talking about bringing back the Sports and Tourism Authority. And we got into this conversation about what would be a nice twist to help reorganize this sports authority. And we talked about film, about helping out film. And Edgar gives a lot of credit to me on this conversation, but it was really a joint discussion about how important film is, because I was the general manager of Old Tucson, and Without film, there would have been no Old Tucson, because as we talked about, it was about the movie Arizona in 1939, I think released in 1940, when it was a great year for movies with Gone with the Wind. and that little movie featuring that little dog, remember that one? And and it's was a great year for movies, and it was a great year for Old Tucson as well, because it just started really the importance of film when it came here to Tucson, and tourism really kicked off. We were a small, kind of sleepy town back then. I think everybody probably had a horse and a cowboy hat at that time. And next thing you know, we have a movie all about the history of Tucson back in the 1800s, when it was a turbulent time with the Civil War. But Tucson was starting to grow. Certainly cattle was a big part of Tucson back then. But the movies tried to do everything it could to depict that. There's the story, of course, about how the movie set was built. And Peter, you've heard that story many times.
Old Tucson being built in 1939 for the movie Arizona, starring William Holden and
Gene Arthur.
Gene Arthur. I could never remember the second part of that, but it's remarkable that the studio built Old Tucson for one movie and decided to keep it going, and that benefited the town of Tucson for decades to come. It's really, we're pretty lucky to have had that.
So, Matt, we're waiting for Blake to call in, and Peter, Blake is with us, and good morning, Blake.
Hey, good morning, guys.
We wanted to have you on the show just for one segment to talk a little bit about the organization that you and Pete was certainly a big part of getting this through the legislature, and how it is helping the film industry here in town.
Yeah, I mean, first, thank you for having me on. I wish you'd have told me that Peter was going to be on, because I would not have called if that was the case.
Yeah, we're mortal enemies.
I'm the executive director for Southern Arizona Sports, Tourism, and Film Authority. Peter's our film chair, your guiding light when it comes to the film piece of it. From the authority standpoint, our job is really to connect the film industry and the workforce development side. So connecting Pima Community College, Cochise Community College, wherever we can to create workforce, U of A, University of Arizona, pretty much whatever Peter tells me to go in and work on, that's what I want to do.
Is that true, Peter?
more or less. The great thing is, because I already had been at Film Tucson for, at that point, probably 25 years, when I became the film chair of the authority, I was able to hit the ground running, because it mirrored a lot of the work I was doing already. Blake's drive for workforce development is definitely steering the conversation now in a new direction that's sorely needed. And it's really nice to have another prong in another tool in our toolbox, I guess is the way to say it.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I'm on the hatchet. I might not be the sharpest hatchet. I still a hatchet, though, at some point.
Well, we were talking about how important the film industry is to our tourism business here in Tucson. And, Blake, you live and breathe tourism every day.
I try to. Sometimes I need some action to help me, but yeah, I absolutely try to. I mean, Tom, you were just talking about Old Tucson, and you know that place better than anybody else. I mean, that still creates tourism coming here just from, the decades-long film industry that we had here and the industry that came here. Just it's incredible how much the past can create for the future. So that's something that we want to continue to try to work on, with the blurring lines between film and tourism is extremely important.
Now, when you and Pete were out there talking to the legislature and talking to the folks that influence the legislature, there was a couple of bills that were taking place in the legislature that all of them, I think, have been and will be even more so part of the, I guess what we'd say, the resurgence, even though we haven't lost the film industry. It's still coming, but certainly the talk about tools in the toolbox, Peter.
Yes.
You and the beginning of the Sports and Tourism and Film Authority were a vital voice in the passing of that legislation.
Go ahead. Sure. Do you want to take that, Blake? Well, I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I'll just from my own point, Peter, so that there was, you know, Tom, that's a really good point. We were working, and Peter led, our local or regional charge on the, and sent on both bills at the same time. But to have, I think, as a Tucsonan, understanding that we are stronger as a collective than we are as a singular unit, these two bills together and the authority and film incentives allows us to collaborate in maybe different directions that we weren't used to before, which is something that we have to get creative with in Southern Arizona, whether it's bringing commercials in, whether it's bringing indie films in, whether it's bringing a sitcom or movies. We have to get creative to make sure that our filming for the long term is going to be sustainable. Hopefully I didn't say anything wrong there, Peter.
No, not at all. For the listeners who are wondering what we're talking about, you might know that different states lure filming to their region with film incentives. This is no different than how states go after Amazon or Raytheon or whatever industry it is. In this case, it's an industry, it's the film industry. So for a long time, Arizona did not have film incentives, while other states such as New Mexico and Georgia did. And so a lot of filming went their direction. And so Senator David Gowen helped introduce a bill that would bring film incentives to Arizona, thus luring more filming here. And so that's what we're talking about in this story here.
Very competitive industry, right, Peter?
Yes.
And you used to hear many years ago when I was the film manager at Calico Ghost Town, and From Dusk to Dawn was my biggest movie credit. And all I really did was provide a dry lake bed and the lumber to build the bar. And then I guess there was a movie called Broken Arrow that was filmed at Calico Ghost Town as well. But you know, at that time, it seemed like all the movies, if they weren't filmed in California, were filmed in Canada. And
yes.
I presume that was not necessarily everything that we can offer here in Tucson, but they had some kind of a cost saving or film incentive program.
Yes.
And I think it was the governor, Bill Richardson, that created the tax credit in New Mexico because he loved hanging around the movie stars from the stories that I've heard. When the new governor came in, she just maybe upped that a little bit. And here's Tucson, famous for its movies since 1939, the best hospitality, the best weather, the wonderful scenery, whether you want mountains or in the north to close to the border with the saguaros, largest saguaro national forest. And we're sitting there without a tax credit or whatever the incentives program might be. And I think you guys really worked hard along with the movie industry and gathering them together to pass this incentive. Now, that incentive program, if I understand, Pete, came along, and then there was this kind of mini, maybe it was a major crisis of what happened to the movie industry just when it started or kicked off.
Well, so are you talking about...
The strike.
Okay.
Yeah, the strike.
Yeah, got it. The strike definitely hurt us. The film industry is kind of in a weird funk right now since the strikes. A lot of things are going out of the country. They're filming in Australia and England and Europe. And so there is now talk of instituting a national film incentive, which is what those countries do. I want to go back to Canada real quick here. A lot of Tucsonans might know that there was lots of filming here throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s. It started to dry up in the 90s because that's when Canada... They were the first country to come up with the idea of film incentives. And the advantage they had over everyone was there was a national film incentive for all of Canada and then a regional film incentive for the specific region in Canada in which you were filming, be it Vancouver or Montreal. And so Hollywood just started going to Canada. Lots of movies that you may have seen that you thought were set in America, that were filmed in America, but it's set there, actually filmed in Canada. So we start seeing a lot of things go away to Canada. So with the recent talk President Trump brought up about tariffs for foreign films, what I'm enjoying is that now the idea of a national film incentive is come to the fore.
And we're going to hear more about that. It's important to continue. Can you hang out just for a few more minutes? Because that's important to the future of the film industry and, of course, us continuing to grow our tourism visitors here in our great city of Tucson in southern Arizona. So we'll be right back. A few words from our sponsors. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. Don't go anywhere because we'll be back. Well, we're back, and we're learning more and more about the movies that have filmed here in the Tucson region, southern Arizona, and even northern Mexico, our friends over there. And we were talking about what's going on with the movie industry right now. And certainly there was a negative, but we're going to turn it into a positive. So, Peter, how are we going to do that?
Well, the great thing is Arizona has film incentives now, and so that's going to drive a lot of filming back. As I mentioned before the break, for our listeners, different states offer tax breaks to lure filming to their region. New Mexico and Georgia are currently doing really well with this. So is the state of Oklahoma and some other states. But Arizona for a long time didn't have incentives, and so now we do, and it's just going to point towards a positive future because now we're back on the map and producers are interested in Arizona because of our incentives.
Yeah, I've been at some of the workshops and talks that you've done, and you did take advantage of this little lull by bringing a bunch of people in here to show off our locations.
Sure thing. So when the strikes were happening and a little bit after the strikes, we tend to pivot when there's a lull in filming. If things are down for a bit, we just find another marketing angle. And in our case, it was flying in location scouts from Hollywood. The location scouts are the team that go out to look for the spots to film at. The studios will hire them. The production company will hire them to find the spots that this film might need. And so they're pretty important to us. So we flew in, I think we're up to 25 now, something like that, location scouts throughout the last couple of years. We've been flying them in. We take them around, show them all the sites. We show them Biosphere 2, Tucson Mountain Park, Old Tucson Mezcal. We show them the border. We show them Bisbee. And they take photos that they keep in their files. So when they get hired for a TV series or a movie that needs a Western town, boom, they've got Mezcal. They can just pull it right out and show it to the producers.
It's a great incentive program from Visit Tucson, your parent company, and we also do that, I understand, with meeting planners, and the destination sells itself, but we got to bring them here.
Yes.
And so that typical visit from the location scout sounds like it's more than just one day.
It can be. What we ask them for is just give us at least 2 days, and we'll put an itinerary together that shows them the essentials. But if they give us 3 days, but if we really get 4 days, then we can really show them everything. And all of you in Tucson that live here know you can see all the pictures of saguaros you want, but it's not until you show your friends and family visiting from out of town an actual saguaro desert, or if they get to see a real Western movie set in person, boy, that makes all the difference. So flying these location scouts in is essential for us because they get to see everything up close and real, and it makes all the difference. It really sells itself.
They don't have to go to Hawaii to see a waterfall.
That's very true.
There's actually one right outside of the Lowe's resort, and there's also one there called in Sabino Canyon.
Yes.
Which is not only has this beautiful waterfall, but it has a little brook.
yes.
right next to it. And what a great scene when two horses arrive to the brook and they have to water them. There could be a prettier scene. Well, Peter, I know you got to run to another meeting, and we really appreciate your time and your knowledge, and the future looks bright. In the film industry with you and Blake. I don't know if Blake's still with us or not. Doesn't sound like it, but with you and Blake.
Yeah, he's there, Tom.
Are you there, Blake?
Hey, Blake.
Yeah, I'm still here, guys.
Yeah,
sorry,
so
I'm sorry,
I was.
You are.
And Blake, as I was saying, the future with Blake working his angle, and Peter, you with the logistics and the relationships, I think we're positioned to. It's okay if we whoop New England or New Mexico just a little bit.
Sure.
But what do you think, Blake?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I've got to share just one quick story. So when we were going, I tell people this when I'm talking about Peter and I's relationship in the film industry, the film piece of the authority. So when we were going through the whole process of running our bills at the state level, we had both the authority bill and then Senate bill happening at the same time. Peter would set up these meetings, mass meetings with Nick Simonetta and himself with all the executives from the industry. So you had HBO, Warner Brothers, Disney, everybody was on this call. And Peter, before the call, he would allow me to be on the call. But before the call, he would call me and go, "Hey, just want to make sure you understand you're not allowed to say one word at all." And I was like, "I did." So
I said it in a nicer way.
It's been an exciting time. I can't thank you guys enough. Tom, for everything you've done for the authority, being a mentor. Peter, everything you continue to do for the community and film, it's been amazing.
So I'm not sure who owes the other one a cowboy hat, but Blake, you don't have one of those, so you would look wonderful teaming up with Peter with your own cowboy hat. So, well, I want to thank both of you folks for being on the air, and for Peter for you being here in the studio.
Sure.
It's always nice when you have somebody in the studio and you can have eye contact. There's a lot of stuff that goes on between the breaks because we want to make sure that we are getting the most information and sharing it with our listeners. So we thank you for don't go anywhere, but thank you, Peter, again, and have a great day. And you too as well, Blake.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to turn to Mark Sankey. He's not, the title is Marketing and
Media.
And Media, okay. And without Marketing and Media, we wouldn't really be able to share with you that Mescal is back. And before we go to break, we have about 3 minutes. Let's talk a little bit about when Karchner contacted you and said, "Hey, we need to bring this back."
Well, they didn't so much contact me as I went down there.
Okay, well, that's even better.
Yeah. The Mescal sets on state land on a film lease. And according to the lease, if you're no longer actively filming, you had to return it to its natural state, meaning bulldoze it down and get it back to desert. Karchner's, being fifth-generation ranchers, didn't want to see that happen. And so in one meeting, they bought it. No business plan, nothing like that, but they just recognized the value that set had to that area down there, and that community down there. So they bought it and decided just to keep it a film set, and pulled in a bunch of us as volunteers to come in and help them rebuild it. And basically our mission statement is to promote Western history and Western culture through film and film-related events.
Now, tell us a little bit about the volunteers that were helping you rebuild Mescal.
Well, we've got a very strong volunteer group of about almost 40 of us, and some of them come in to work construction and paint or pound nails and that type of thing. Other people come in to be tour guides or to help wrangle tours or maybe work in the gift shop or bartend or something like that.
Yeah, and you know, I kept kind of in touch with you. You joined the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we've been very fortunate to have you. And you have had I think you mentioned last time, 4 or 5 movies or so that have been out there since you took it over, or...
We've had almost 40 projects.
40 projects. Well, I forgot to put now, the zero.
Some of those might have been photo shoots. Some of them might have been very small films. Some of them may just been one day in a saloon.
All right. Well, we're going to hear a lot more about that when we come back from the break. Again, thank you to Peter and to Blake, and we'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. Well, we're back, and we're listening to some wonderful movie soundtracks that were filmed here in Tucson in the Southern Arizona region. So thank you, Matt. We've been talking about the movies here filmed in Tucson. And boy, we've learned quite a bit, haven't we, Mark?
Absolutely.
Now, my guest across my microphone is Mark Sankey, and he's from Mescal, the movie set, who was really... the person leading the charge, along with the Karchner family, to make sure that the famous Mescal movie set, what used to be managed by Old Tucson Company. Obviously, we talked about Tombstone, which celebrated just recently, maybe 2 years ago or so, the 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
In Tombstone. And again, you can just about see the movie Tombstone any time of the day with all the different streaming channels. But Mescal was unique in the sense that it was definitely rescued. And Mark, you talked a little bit about that. And we're going to hear a little bit more with one of the folks, is the legend of Mescal, who's on the phone. So stand by. But Tim, my co-host, has a mission here at the bottom of each hour on this particular show, is to talk about what's happening in Tucson and his three best events that he wants to share with you.
Well, good morning again, Tom. Just want to say how nice it was to hear Peter's voice. He was my office neighbor when I was at Visit Tucson. And what a cool guy. All right, so... this weekend is the last weekend of Old Tucson's Western Adventures for the season. So we invite you to head on over for May 10th and 11th. It'll be the last days until the end of summer for regular operations of Old Tucson. And as an added bonus, they have the Sons of the Pioneers live tomorrow through Sunday at Old Tucson. The Tucson Sugar Skulls are playing at the TCC on May 10th. As you mentioned earlier, the movie night at the historic Empire Ranch on Saturday night. Going to play the Kris Kristofferson version of A Star is Born. And then, of course, don't forget, Tom, it's Mother's Day weekend. So Sunday, May 11th, brunches everywhere in town. But we highly recommend checking out the Hacienda del Sol and the JW Marriott Star Pass. So be sure to go to thisistucson.com and visit Tucson.org to learn more about these events and what else is going on in Tucson.
Thank you, Tim. And yes, I am going to Hacienda del Sol. I'm going to take the advice of Grant Kruger, our host of our Wednesday, The Morning Voice, where he said, if you can't get reservations during brunch, probably will be able to find some around 4 or 5 o'clock. And when I told my wife this last night, she was very excited, especially since I'm buying. It's Mother's Day, so we're not going to forget about that for sure. Well, let's get back to Bunker. Are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, stand by because we're going to be coming in and out with you. But we're going to lead off the rest of this segment on... what happened with Mescal? Unfortunately, Old Tucson during COVID, like all the other attractions, closed down. And the lease was getting very close to the end with the current management company called Old Tucson Company. That's who I worked for. 1997 to 2001. They decided to end their lease with Pima County, and that spurred an RFP process where a new company came in called a company out of Durango, and they feature trains and and it's been there, I think, now for 3 years, and they got a great general manager, Tony, and we wish him well, and wish him well with all the movies that are coming on. But the Old Tucson Company decided that they were going to also walk away from their movie/grazing lease with the state of Arizona, and I'm going to let Mark pick up the show from there.
Yes, it's the Mescal set is on state land. We talked about a little bit of that earlier, and if you're no longer filming, you had to return it to its natural state. So it was destined to be destroyed, and local ranchers, fifth-generation ranchers, came in and bought it, and we are rebuilding it through a volunteer base, and with the emphasis of getting it back on its feet to bring in some more filming and more Westerns into southern Arizona.
Yeah, and with that, and some of those volunteers, and certainly the legends that are still in the community that actually filmed out there is on the phone right now.
One of our legends, Bunker DeFrance, and he's got the unique position of being on the very first movie that filmed out there with buildings, which was Monty Walsh.
Can you tell us about that, Bunker?
Yes, I can. In fact, I'd just like to kind of toot my own horn here for a second. I have 4 decades in the motion picture business, starting here in Tucson. But Monty Walsh was produced by Hal Landers and Bobby Roberts. And they saw that country out there. Bob Shelton took them out there. They loved it. Bob arranged a deal with the old rancher that had the lease at the time. And so they built a set. Now, interestingly, the set originally ran, the street ran north and south. Years later, they turned it around for Tom Horn, I believe it was, so that it ran east and west. But one of the great stories, which gets distorted, is that it was the last week of shooting out there, and we got one of our monsoon winds out there, and it blew down part of the street. The story got it blew down the town. It didn't. It was the east side street that ran down where the general store and some of the houses were. The crew that built this thing, they built such a sturdy set that while all the superstructure blew down, the telephone poles, which were the anchors, they stayed. They went back over the weekend. Bob got the call Friday night. They went back. The crew went back over the weekend and rebuilt that whole thing. And Monday morning, they were able to shoot without losing a day. And I just want to add one thing, too. We keep talking about the 4 C's. We need to add the 5th C to Arizona, and that's cinema.
Well, duly noted. And so the volunteers came in, and as you mentioned, they found a mess.
Yes.
And you know, the movie industry with Westerns had kind of dried up after the fire at Old Tucson in 95. And occasionally you would see one or two star-driven Westerns. And actually, what drove the Westerns was still what drives every movie, a great story. And, you know, obviously John Wayne wasn't with us anymore. You know, so we had to, you know, bring folks in like Tom Selleck and, you know, and Kevin Costner, who were well known for their Westerns as well. And so you started to work. And how long did it take where you felt comfortable opening it up for tours again?
It took 9 months to get it cleaned up. I think we filled up a 55-gallon drum of nails, probably 3 or 4 in broken glass, and we had a lot of lumber to move out. At one time, there were over 40 buildings there, and when the Karshners got it, there was 28 still standing, but a lot of that debris had to be moved out of town. And we opened up on Labor Day, I think it was in 21, and have been doing tours ever since in between film projects.
Now, you mentioned, we just got 20 seconds before we go to break, but there's been more than just movies out there. There's a lot of other kinds of projects out there as well.
We've done some music videos. We've done some photo shoots for magazines. We do a lot of sizzlers or promotional type films where they're trying to get a movie made, so they'll make a 10-minute short. So we've been busy. It's been
That's great.
Back.
If you have any of those 10-minute videos, send them over to me, will you? And we'll get them on our website, if
sure.
that makes sense. Well, we'll be back with one more segment with Mark Sankey. This is The Morning Voice, and we're talking about everything about the movies that started, we think, in 1939 with Old Tucson, brought to you by Columbia Pictures, starring Gene Autry and...
William Holden.
There we go. William Holden.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. How could you not talk about Old Tucson without talking about the Three Amigos? And, you know, Steve Martin and Martin Short and Chevy Chase. You know, and they actually transformed quite a bit of the... of Old Tucson to, you know, look from like it was in Mexico, and they created a hideaway
mm-hmm.
for do you remember the character
El Guapo?
That's right, El Guapo. And you know what was really unfortunate when the movie wrapped up, they tore down that, and it was $1 million set. And the story goes, don't know if it's true or not, is that Pima County Building Department came out there and said, when you build this, you need to put it on a foundation. And they elected to not do that, just build it on the ground. And as a result of that, at the end of the movie, they had to tear it down. And what a great opportunity that would have been to keep. It would be a whole other movie set.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of those movie sets burnt down in the 1995 fire, especially the Little Prairie on the house set and, you know, and Kansas Street. But maybe someday American Heritage Railways, the new management company that's working with Pima County and operating Old Tucson, will see fit to rebuild Kansas Street, because I think that is an important movie icon. Now, speaking of movie icons... You said when it was originally built, there was over 40 buildings. And when you walked in there, there was only 28 left. Now, some of those were made very popular from the movies that were shot out there. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And what are you doing to make the habitat more creature-friendly when you take a tour of Mescal?
When you say creature friendly, I mean,
well, the more than just a bush,
right? But the 28 buildings, a lot of you know, all the buildings out there were made for movies. Never was a real town, so there's quite a few buildings left from like Tombstone. Everybody loves Tombstone. Wyatt and Virgil's house is there, the Oriental, the hotel, and such. But you also have Paul Newman's courthouse and saloon, the Jersey Lily from The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. The hotel was built for a Frank Sinatra movie, Dirty Dingus McGee, if you can believe it. Right. Clint Eastwood came out and his production company built our mercantile store. So it's when the tours come out, we basically walk down one side of the street, come up the other. The buildings that are safe, we'll get you into so you can go in and see them. But we talk about the famous actors, famous scenes, famous movies, and where they were filmed. But it is a rustic town. It's a frontier town. There's no power. We do have water, we do have cell phone service, we have internet, but we have no power. So we had to do quite a few things to make it more comfortable, not only for our guests that come in for tours, but also movies. So for the first time in history, we've got bathrooms now.
And, hey.
you know, no more porta pots. We do have bathrooms and are big enough to be changing rooms. And for the film industry, we're also converting two buildings, one to makeup and one for wardrobe with changing rooms and such. So they don't have to bring out as many trailers and it'll save on their overhead.
Now, tell us about the tours and when they go on.
Tours are in between filming. So it's always best to check the website because I can only go 30, 60, maybe 90 days in advance because we're constantly negotiating or talking to films about coming out. And what we don't want to do is have people buy tickets and have me call them up and say, guess what? We have a film. Here's your money back. So we always tell people check the website and make a reservation. The tours, we don't crowd the set. Tours have an average of 12, 15, 18 people so that you're taken around. You can ask questions and that type of thing. If you do walk up, we try to get you in. But if the tour is overcrowded, you may have to wait for the next one.
Yeah, and the tours, how much do they cost?
They're $20. And in order to get the younger generation in, kids 17 and under are free.
That's fantastic. And you can book the tours online. What's the website?
It's mescalmovieset.com.
We encourage you all to go out there. Now, there are also movie tours at Old Tucson.
Yes.
Even though you heard that they're going to close down for a little bit during the summer, the movie tours and the ghost tours are still going on daily at Old Tucson. So check out their website. Thank you all. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Bunker. Thank you, everybody that's been here. We've listened to a lot of great stories and learned more about the movie industry here in Tucson and how important it is to tourism. Dr. Ackerley will be back tomorrow at Friday, and we'll see you all. The Morning Voice.